Hello, I'm Lino Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. Authorities in the Democratic Republic of Congo have approved the use of two mpox vaccines to try to tackle an upsurge in monkeypox infections and to help quell a dangerous new strain spreading in the country. The regulator has issued an emergency use authorization for both Bavarian Nordic's Bavakoshat, Jynneos, and LC16 made by KM Biologics. Both tools were widely available in Europe and the United States during the global outbreak in 2022. Congo has seen 20,000 cases and more than 1,000 deaths from mpox, mainly among children, since the start of last year, according to government data. WHO and scientists warn of a new, more deadly strain of mpox spreading in Congo's South Kivu province. The World Health Organization says this form of cancer found in women is caused by persistent infection with the human papillomavirus, HPV. WHO data show that cervical cancer is the most common cancer among women in the southern African nation of Eswatini, while globally it is the fourth most common cancer. Despite this, a vaccination program in Eswatini that aims to prevent cervical cancer is meeting resistance. Nokukanya Musi has more from Manzini, Eswatini.
A vaccination campaign in Eswatini aims to protect schoolgirls against the human papillomavirus, or HPV. The virus can lead to cervical cancer, the most common cancer among women in Eswatini. But experts say the vaccine can prevent most cases of cervical cancer if it is administered before a girl or woman is exposed. Despite this, the vaccination campaign is stirring debates among parents in the Manzini region and elsewhere in the country. Some say the government did not provide enough information when it launched the program in June 2023. Precious Shongwe is a parent and cervical cancer survivor.
I am well versed because I work in the health center, but I still feel like I have other certain questions as much as I support it, especially for other parents, because there, a lot has been said, a lot of myths that are still ongoing, and parents are not given chance to ask questions. Even the girls are also not given a chance to ask.
The Ministry of Health is running the campaign in partnership with the World Health Organization, WHO, and Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, which provides funding for vaccines for children in poor countries. Sisana Mamba, a grandmother and mother, says families in rural areas did not get the information they needed. She says she learned about the vaccination program from the school. The following week, she was given consent forms to fill out and sign without adequate information. She says she and other parents in rural areas signed without fully understanding the matter. But a spokesperson for the Ministry of Health says the government properly informed all communities before the vaccination drive and continues to do so. Ministry of Health Communications Officer Nsindi Sotsabedze.
We continue to educate communities. We continue to educate parents, and we engage in community dialogues in terms of the importance of taking the HPV vaccine. We also share information through various media platforms. We also use opportunities that we get during outreach, community outreach projects, where we go and give health services.
Cedric Chewa is the president of the Eswatini Schools Committee and the Parents Association, ESCAPA, as well as the father of two young children. He says the government informed head teachers but left parents out, and they have many questions that haven't been answered. As the debate continues over the HPV vaccination, the vaccination campaign continues in a bid to protect young people from HPV and lower the highest rates of cervical cancer in the world. Nokukhanya Musi, VOA News, Manzini, Eswatini.
A U.S.-based organization, Community Health Foundation, has been working in Sierra Leone to help improve the health sector in the West African country. The organization was founded years ago by Linda Maxon-Cisse to reduce the gap in access to quality health care in Sierra Leone. Linda just returned from a medical mission in Sierra Leone and joins us today via telephone outside Washington, D.C. Linda, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ms. Leonard.
It's great to have you. Listen, as I mentioned, you just returned from a medical mission in Sierra Leone. We really want to hear more about the mission. But before we do that, let's give us a sense of your organization in a nutshell, the mission of your organization.
Thank you, Ms. Leonard. Community Health Foundation is a non-profit organization established both in the United States and Sierra Leone. The mission for this organization is to provide free healthcare services to the less privileged people in Sierra Leone. Also in the U.S., we are providing food to people who have low income. We give them free food. Basically, that's what we're doing.
Okay. You put it so simply, but you do so much more on the ground for having followed your work. Talk to us about this specific mission as you return from Sierra Leone. You went there with some American physicians. What was it exactly, and what did you do on the ground?
So we went to Sierra Leone on June 7th. Community Health Foundation has been exist for the past 4 years. Over the years, we've been getting donations of medical equipment and supply here in U.S. and ship them to Sierra Leone to also donate there to hospitals just to improve the health sector. Until 2022, we were able to establish a 30-bed hospital, 30-bed capacity focused on maternal and child health. That's what we've been doing over 2 years until we recently I met with this individual doctors from California who saw the work that I'm doing, and they, together with my team, they saw the need to go and provide their own service. So we travel. They travel here. I was already there like a month before they left U.S., and they went there in June 7th for a week, and we were able to see a lot of people. We provided medical services to all population, including surgeries. Within the 1 week, we were able to provide surgical operations to 125 people on all population, and that's just for the surgeries. The overall count for the patients we saw, inpatients and outpatients, is 2009. Even though they stayed for only a week, but we continue to provide the free health care. It's still going on, being that it's already an established hospital in a remote area in Sierra Leone where access to health care is almost impossible. They are where this hospital is. It's been at a 30 bed, but recently we are able to put up another small building that's equipped 10 beds. So the facility is now a 40 bed capacity. However, there is also a project going on for 100 beds to expand that hospital.
Okay.
But basically, yeah.
Okay, so and we're going to talk more about the hospital and some of the services provided. To go back to the mission, you talked about surgeries were performed. What sorts of surgeries and what sorts of health issues were you able to tackle in this specific mission?
In this specific mission, we were able to perform surgeries like hernia, like scrotal hernia for men, umbilical hernia, both men and women, and prolapse uterus. And also, we were able to do a fibroid surgery. We did cyst, and we did goiter and abscess. And we also partner with the Ministry of Health in Sierra Leone for eye condition, because we have a lot of people who are suffering with eye problems, including cataract and other stuff. But the medical mission did not have an ophthalmologist on the team, so I was able to talk to the Minister of Health, who provided eye specialists. So we were able to also provide free healthcare for eye problems, eye clinics. We give them eye drops, and those who are supposed to have surgeries, we refer them to McKinney and Freetown. That's the city and the third city in Sierra Leone. So basically, that's what we did. And also, like for inpatients and outpatients, people who do not require surgery, we were able to see a lot of malaria cases and typhoid and yellow fever. It's a lot. So we are able to save all those people's lives. Most people were really severely anemic. We had to donate blood, like the doctors that came from California had to donate blood to those people because they were severely anemic. Yeah, basically, that's what we did.
And when do you anticipate your next medical mission with the doctors, whether it's the same group or a different group?
The anticipation for the next medical mission will be in January because when they get there, they saw the need to improve, to continue the medical mission because there were a lot of needs. So they decided to be going like twice a year. For right now, we are planning to go back in January 2025.
Okay, that's fantastic. Now let's go back to the basic. I know you and I talked before about your work and the organization, but I wanted to go back to the basic again as a reminder of what gets you going and what drove you to start this. So could you tell us a bit more about your background and how you came about putting together this Community Health Foundation?
Thank you for that. So growing up in Sierra Leone, I saw the desperate need to improve healthcare. I was born in one of the remote areas in the village, and during my young age, like at the age of 8, I lost my aunt during labor. She was in labor for 3 days, and there was no nearby health facility. She was bleeding. The baby was in transverse position. The aunt and the foot was out. All the other rest parts of the body was inside my aunt, and they were not able to get the baby out. So she died, and the baby died. She was buried with the baby together. There was blood from the room to the grave. So I saw that as a child, and it was really tragic. And I said to myself, when I grow up, I want to do something to prevent my people from going through this. So when I was fortunate to come to America, I decided to go to the healthcare team. I mean, the healthcare profession. Right now, I already have my RN, BSN, master's, and I'm doing my doctorate. So I decided to form Community Health Foundation in 2019 as a nonprofit, both here in Sierra Leone. Basically, I've been working so hard, I mean, raise money, like 3 jobs, just to make money so I can put up this facility. That's how I was able to do all this. And, of course, through the nonprofit, I do get consumables as donations and all that, and medical consumables, ship them to Sierra Leone, donate to S facilities until I establish my own together with my team. Now, when we ship medical equipment, we donate and keep some for our facility. So basically, that's what motivated me to open this. Until now, very first time that I able to travel with doctors that already saw the work, and they are ready to partner with me so we can continue the work.
So how does the foundation engage with local communities and healthcare providers in Sierra Leone? You talked about the support of the Ministry of Health in some of the work when you were during the last mission that you did. So what does it look like in general?
The local community, of course, they are happy to see what we are doing because we are helping them, and they are very supportive. The Ministry of Health is also supportive in their own way. Like they when I ship medical equipment, they will give me a duty waiver. I will just pay third party charges, and that is really helpful. Like I mentioned earlier, when I needed eye specialists, they provided them. I only had to pay them per diem, but I didn't like have to pay them like a salary or something. So that is one support they are supporting, and I really appreciate that. And recently, they also have there are Nigerian doctors that go go to Sierra Leone, healthcare personnel, not just doctors, different specialties. They just also send two to my facility, like an anesthetic nurse and a preoperative nurse, that will be there for 2 years. I can only provide stipend for them, but they are being paid by the Nigerian government. So that is a great support that I appreciate.
That's fantastic, Linda. And we are going to take a short break, and we will have more of the discussion. So stay with us, Linda. And we want to hear everything that you're doing, at least most of what you're doing, because you're doing so much more. So you are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. When we return, we'll have more with Linda Maxansise, CEO of the organization Community Health Foundation. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1. Then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
Welcome back to Health Chat. If you are just joining us, we are discussing efforts to improve healthcare in Africa, in particular Sierra Leone. Our guest is Linda Maxansise, CEO of Community Health Foundation. Now, Linda, what are some of the biggest challenges your organization faces in improving healthcare access in Sierra Leone?
Okay, so the challenges are over the years, we've been losing babies. When we have premature babies, we don't have incubator. We didn't have a baby care unit, so we lost them. Recently, these doctors that we just partnered, that went for the medical mission, were able to purchase some incubators. Now we have three on ground. We also have some that is on the way. However, there is still a big challenge because to maintain them, we need somebody like a biomed that will be there, that will be, fix those machines when they spoil. We don't have that yet. And we need to have like a built-in oxygen because since it's a hospital, we always have emergencies and all that. And when the baby is in the incubator, most times they require oxygen. We don't have that oxygen. We only have a portable one that I purchased in country. So that is a big challenge to maintain the baby care unit. Also, the power system, because we don't have electricity. This is a remote area in the country. I had to build my own electricity from scratch with a solar system and a backup generator, and it's highly expensive to maintain the solar system the generator. We have to buy gas every day, and it's the gas price is going up all the time. So that is really difficult to maintain the electricity system. And what else was? Of course, salary. I have to pay out of pocket with all my employees. For all my employees, I have to pay out of pocket, so I have to be working very hard and get consumables. Hospital is something. It's a 24-hour hospital that is running. We always have to use medication. We have to use consumables and everything we need. That always have to come through my pocket because we are providing free health care to pregnant women, lactating mothers, and children who are under the age of 5. And people who do not fall under the category of the free health care, we ask them to pay what we call a cost recovery. But being that it's a remote area, people are really, really they don't have, they cannot afford. I cannot say poor, but I mean, it's really remote here. So most people still cannot afford to even pay. So we still have to provide services to them. So that is really, really challenging. And, of course, the size of the hospital is small. Where it's located is about 6,500 population. We only have 40 beds right now. It's been 30 beds. We just upgraded to 40 beds. So the hospital is not enough for the population. So that is really a challenge. We need to expand.
That's incredible. How has your work with the Community Health Foundation and putting it together, establishing it, how has it influenced your perspective on global health and also community service?
Say that again.
How has your work and establishment of the Community Health Foundation, how has it influenced your perspective of on global health and the need for healthcare in Africa in general?
It's really, really helpful. Since we established the Community Health Foundation, we've been able to save lives. Because, like I mentioned earlier, there is no government hospital or no big hospital close by the area. So we've been able to save a lot of lives because people used to travel like 3 hours to go when they're in labor because we are focused on maternal child health, even though we have to provide services to all population due to lack of another facility nearby. So when people were in labor, if they have complications, they have to travel like 3 hours. And during the rainy season, sometimes impossible to cross because the road is very bad. The vehicles stuck on the road. They cannot get to their destination. But for now, we are able to provide that care for them. So it's really, really beneficial.
What are your future plans? You talked a little bit about it if with regards to the mission. But as a whole, for the foundation, in terms of expanding its impact and reach in Sierra Leone, what are your plans?
My plan is to expand to different branches in the country because Sierra Leone is really, they are trying on healthcare, but we still have a lot of challenges countrywide. We have a lot of people who go outside of the country for medical tourism. So my plan is to have the Malenji, where the hospital is located is called Malenjuan Town, Tonkolili District. So my plan is to expand that to fit, at least to be able to provide services to the district. Then we can extend our service to other parts of the country. And my goal is to also make sure that we reduce the number of people who travel abroad for medical tourism. I want to be able to establish a state-of-the-art hospital in the whole country that will be able like have different expertise, different specialties of doctors to make sure that we help our people and prevent them to travel abroad for medical tourism.
What advice would you give to others who are looking to make a difference in global health, especially in under-resourced areas like you are doing?
So I just want to encourage people to know that everything in this world you want to do, it's doable. It's just about dedication and perseverance and go for what you want to do. When I wanted to start this, I thought it was impossible because there is no electricity. Like people keep telling me, how do you think you're going to have a surgical theater in this remote area where there is no electricity? Because so in order to do surgery basically, you have to have light. Even the theater table need light. So, and it consumes a lot of energy. So it was almost like impossible for us to do that. But with the help of God and my work with my team, we are able to overcome that. So I just want to encourage people to make sure that whatever you want to do, just keep doing it and believe in yourself and believe in God and go for it. Everything is possible.
Now, you talk about the fact that, first of all, this has been established in 2019, so 4 years going on five. You mentioned that this is self-funded. Can you clarify that? Are you paying out of pocket up until now? And what are your plans to get donors and have this being sustained, not from by yourself, but either self-sustained or from donors?
Yeah, so I've been self-funded since 2014 when I started this project, and up till now I'm still self-funded. Being an RN in the U.S., I've been working like three jobs just to raise money to pay employees and the running cost for the facility. When COVID came, I was working as a first responder, a frontline worker. I've been in Texas, New York, everywhere, you name it. That's how I was able to make the money to set up the 30 bed. Because the organization was established 2019, but the hospital was established 2020 when COVID started, because that's how I was able to raise that money. Since then, when the money finished, I stopped where I stopped. But like the 100 bed that I started, I couldn't go further up till now. But I'm just trying to maintain the 40 bed we have right now out of pocket. I'm still working three jobs when I come now. Now that I'm here, I'm still working so hard just to raise money to maintain the facility. However, I'm really looking towards partnership support and in any kind. Somebody want to partner with us, somebody want to support us, we are really open to partnership, because I can continue to do it by myself, because I feel like I'm burning out already. So I'm really asking for people's support and partnership towards this.
That's a big task you've taken on. So kudos to you, and we really hope that the message is heard. Talk to us now about the future of Community Health Foundation and the people that the organization serves. What do you see, what are your hopes in the next 5 years?
My hope for the next 5 years is, like I mentioned earlier, I want us to be able to complete the 100-bed capacity hospital that I already started, and I really want it to be a teaching hospital, because, one of the doctors we went for the medical mission, he saw the need to open like a medical school, because the medical personnel in my country are very small, are very limited, are hard to get. Even the doctor that is covering the hospital right now is from Nigeria, because I'm not able to get a doctor in country. So that's one thing, one of the doctor saw the need. And he mentioned that if we're able to build that 100 bed, we're also going to have, a department where we can train doctors, like Sierra Leone doctors. So that way we can have doctors that are in country. So that's one thing. And, of course, like I mentioned, we want to make sure we reduce the population who goes outside for medical tourism. And, of course, to continue to provide free health care for my people. So, yeah, basically.
Okay. And before we wrap, Linda, how can people find out more about your organization?
Okay, we have the website and the phone number. And the website is
Okay, so
we change a new website.
All right, we can go with the phone number.
Okay, the phone number is 240-353-1699.
Okay, for the website, they can check us out online and they will find out more. And
yeah, the website is chfoundationinc.org.
Okay, great.
www.chfoundationinc.org.
Great. Linda Maxensise, thank you so much for joining us, and all the best, and congratulations with everything you're doing.
Thank you so much, Ms. Lena. Thank you for having me.
And that's all for this edition of Health Chat. We thank our guest, Linda Maxensise, CEO of Community Health Foundation. Thank you all for joining us, and thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu, in Washington, with producer Mokbelia Barrow. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.